Last week we obviously had the Presbyterians with us. The St Hilda's Mark from the Anglican Church did apologise. He thought we weren't meeting together until the third term holidays, so that's why St Hilda's wasn't with us last week. But I thought I'd unpack a little bit of this verse that we've looked at quite a few times since coming back together. And I just wanted to, I guess, unpack a little bit more about what this could mean for us. So last week I reflected on the fact that loving one another in this way is costly. And we looked at Mary and for the fact that loving Jesus, among other things for her, cost her financially as she washed Jesus' feet in that very expensive perfume. And then we looked at the cost for Jesus as well. Showing love, among other things, meant the awkwardness of washing even Judas's feet, even being aware of what he was about to do. So I guess I want to acknowledge that this command is not easy. It's a hard command, and so we need to continue to sit with it and work through the implications of it. And in a conversation after the service with someone from Island Bay Presbyterian, they reflected with me about just how hard this can be. And we mused together that the command doesn't say you must like each other. And I think that in truth, it's impossible to like each other all the time. There'll be times, for example, that I say and do things that upset you, and vice versa. And there'll be times that I say and do things that you flat out disagree with, and vice versa. And in those times, we're not called to like the disagreement, and like potentially even like the person that we're disagreeing with at the time, but we are commanded to continue loving each other through it, and despite those disagreements. Of course, the question is, what does that mean to love each other as Jesus has commanded us to do? What does it mean to love someone and not necessarily like them? How do we do that anyway? The how question is inevitable, and it's right that it comes up. It's all very well for me to go on and on and on about, as I have in these last few weeks, months, about loving each other. But if it was as simple as that, quite frankly, Jesus wouldn't have had to command it, I don't think. So this morning I want to reflect a little on some more of Jesus' words following that Passover event in John's Gospel. And there's one word in this passage that I'm about to read that is repeated quite a few times, and I want to see if anyone notices or which one it is. And it's John 15, 1-17 that I'm going to read. I'm going to try and sort of flick as I go. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Where are we up to up there? We're almost there. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. love each other. Anyone pick up a word that repeated? Call it out. If you, fruit, yes, yes. Remain is the one that I was, but fruit is a lot there as well. So remain is mentioned 11 times. That Jesus refers to this idea of remaining. And love, in this, in contrast, is only 9 times, so a couple of times less. And so when sitting with the how question, how do we love each other even when it's difficult, this concept of remaining is a helpful one, I think. Found within what is a familiar metaphor for most of us, I imagine, Jesus invites us to remain in the vine, pointing to himself as the vine, and Creator God as the one who looks after the vine and looks after its fruit. In this metaphor, I see beautiful concepts like care and tenderness, connection and growth. And alongside those, of course, the painful but crucial concept of being pruned. If you've ever stopped to look at a bunch of grapes before eating them, you'll probably have noticed that there are different sized grapes, grapes that perhaps have been pecked at by birds, grapes that are not as firm as, or as juicy as the others, or even the tiny little green ones that never matured. And as the imminent feeder on this bunch of grapes, I'm inevitably looking for the best ones, in my judgment. I decide which grapes have performed well enough to deserve my selection and my consumption. One could argue that my choice there is only loving the grapes that I like, perhaps. Now, I'm no gardener, as many of you know, but it seems to me that all these grapes need to do in order to grow into the delicious fruit they are is to remain connected to that vine that gives them life, sustenance, and flavor. We as grapes, individual grapes, are not responsible for the performance of the other grapes in the bunch. There may even be things that we don't like about them, but they are still a part of our bunch. Also being connected to the vine, also being tended to by the gardener. It is this truth that I think we need to hold on to as we consider the how to love each other. They are also those people who we find difficult, are connected to the vine. They are also being tended by the gardener, as I've said. They are as valid and as valued as each of us. If we choose to see that in every person in our little bunch here at Wellington South, that becomes the foundation of our love for each other and the foundation of our ability to fulfill Jesus' command. But this is done in the power or through the sustenance of Jesus Christ, the vine, and through the pruning work of the gardener, Creator God. And like I said, we're not responsible for the growth of others, but with that being the case, we can choose how to contribute to or detract from the growth of others. Our behavior, loving or otherwise, towards each other does have an impact. So while we're not responsible, we are accountable to one another. Our responsibility begins and ends in the choice to remain in the vine, that vine being Christ. The vine is the one who showed us how to love, showed us how to live. This vine is the one who calls us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. The vine is the one who points us towards the marginalized. The vine is the one who sustains us through all of that. It is Christ who enables us to love one another. It is Christ who gives us the opportunity to build each other up, as Carol encouraged us to do last week. Imagine if we worked so hard at remaining connected to the vine that our starting point of love is the foundation for all of our interactions, not being right. This love that Jesus showed and commanded us to have for each other, if we did that in that way, how would that impact the way we interact with each other? How would that impact the way we interact with those we find difficult? How would that enable robust and passionate conversation that is okay for us to conclude still disagreeing, but choosing to see the other through that lens of love? I believe that that is the key for us in the how we love each other, to remain in Christ. to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, and to see our sisters and our brothers in Christ through the eyes of that wonderful face. Now, I can't tell you individually how best it is for you to remain in Christ. That is different for each of us. It might be through the practice of singing together as we do on Sundays. It might be through the reading of Scripture. It might be through connecting with nature or through learning and developing. It might be through creativity. It might be any number of things. But one thing in that I do know is that we need each other in this process. I've never seen a grapevine with a single grape on it. Grapes are always in bunches. We need each other as we all draw sustenance from our vine, the vine that unites us, our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. I wonder, what does it look like for you to remain in Jesus? What might you need in order for you to genuinely love the person you find most difficult? Perhaps it could be a choice to pray for and desire the best for that person. Perhaps it could be a choice of beginning a process of forgiving them for whatever it is they might have done to you. Perhaps it could be a choice to humbly sit with the fact that you or I might be wrong in our views on a particular issue. The practice of remaining in Christ, being pruned by the Creator and in the power of the Spirit, is, I believe, what we need in order to fulfill this command that Jesus has given us. We're going to spend some time reflecting again shortly. In that time, you'll be invited to consider some of these questions. Let's see what I've got here. Yeah. What does it look like for you to remain in Christ? How do you draw sustenance from our risen Lord? What can you do this week to deepen that remaining? What do you need to enable you to choose to love someone you find difficult? What do you need from God in order to be able to do that? What do you need from your bunch here at Wellington South in order to be able to do that? So we're going to take this time, think about these questions. We're going to continue the other options of engaging as well with the prayer wall and the candles. There's Bibles over here if you want to read. And after 5 or 6 minutes, I will share some words which will institute communion for us. And that will bring our time to the end. Not yet, darling. Okay. So we'll just take a little bit of time to reflect on these or anything else that God might have been saying to you. And then we'll have communion together.